Again, happy Father's Day to the fathers and father figures. This morning, I want to speak on the text, Ephesians chapter 1. We're looking at verses 3 to 6. And I want to speak to the fathers and those who may become father one time, someday. But I want to introduce to you the father, unlike any earthly father that you and I know. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the word. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6. So if you put your hand there in Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, we'll come back to that. Let's read first John. Turn to John chapter 1. Then we'll go back to Ephesians 1. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John 1, 12, 13 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Now let's turn back to Ephesians 1, our text, verses 3 to 6. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved." This morning, I'd like to speak about this Father, the Father unlike any of our earthly fathers. But how can the Heavenly Father become your Father? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one answer, right? Through the gospel. That's how the Heavenly Father could become our Father. Through the gospel, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. However, salvation includes the element of adoption. When God the Father gives us the right to be his children. So today we will look at how is that accomplished. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless our time. And again, I pray for those who have not known the Father, that today may be that day, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate, will open hearts, for we cannot know you apart from the Holy Spirit opening our understanding, our eyes, that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, and that our Heavenly Father is the Father of mercy and love and grace. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So yes, we know there are some that may and are struggling. You may not know your father. Or you may have a father that truly, humanly speaking, is not honorable. We have passages that talks about honoring all men. But yet there are some struggles with some of us. So today I would like to introduce to you this Father. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 6 talks about the adoption. It talks about predestination. God has a plan. The goal of predestination is adoption. And if adoption is the goal, then what is the process or the means? How can one be adopted by the Father? So growing up in the Philippines, we have some kind of an adoption. My tatang and ima, I call my dad tatang and ima, my mom, had adopted other people in our family at one time or another. So when we were growing up, we always have somebody in the house. And we call them helpers, right? In Tagalog, they're called katulong. I don't know in Visaya what they call that. Hilper. That's clear. Hilper. What will I do without you, man? So at one time or another, there were three of them that I know of. We were young. They were helpers. So sometimes you think, okay, you have maids? And so here they call them maids, right? And so it seems like you are wealthy. You know? No, it's a different adoption. Some of these that we know them, they are related to us. And sometimes they're there to study. And so I remember my dad's youngest brother went to college. So they were from the province, so he had to stay. So instead of paying for boarding or lodging, that he stayed with us. And so he's a family, he's part of us. But then there are those that actually my mom would hire, right? But my mom would give them some kind of education. They would go to a school, but they are helpers. They are katulong. In the case where one thing my mom never did was for the maids or the helpers to cook for us, for the family. Ima never did that. She will cook. So the helpers will do the laundry and the cleaning of the house. So that is where, while they were there, they were going to school and so forth. So I remember three of them when I was young. And so two stayed with us to finish their studies in Manila. So it is some form of adoption in this case. My mother and father are not their parents, but in our tradition, then you call them, you know, tatang ima, in mom and dad. And so the one thing I remember, my mom gave permission to one of them to spank us. So if they misbehave, see, we have two brothers. Now, if they misbehave, yeah, you have my permission. So, so that's how we know. They're like families. But what does the Bible say when it comes to adoption? It's a little different. It's a little different. How does the Father bring us into the family of God? It's not something temporary, where at the end of your goal or whatever you need to accomplish, then you move along. So let's go back to the text, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's pick up on verse 4. It says here, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So first of all, God brings us to the family of God because he chose us willingly. He chose us willingly. The Bible says, on what basis did God choose us? Not according to our own will, but according to the good pleasure of his will. It is a sovereign choice of God the Father. So this Sunday school, I thought I'd dove in the abyss. as teaching about the Trinity, but I thought it is appropriate to understand when we start reading the scripture how it could help us understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so here we'll focus on the Father who chose us willingly. Not my will. This is a hard truth for many. The cause of election is God's predestination of believers for adoption into His family, to be given the same rights as a child born to that family. You know, when we have the helpers, yes, they were treated like family, but it is not really family because they only have some time, and once they accomplish their goal, they move on. Not the God, the Father, not God's plan about adoption. The Bible teaches the doctrine of election, so it is not hard to understand, but to some, and I say, and maybe many new believers, it is a hard concept to accept. Our text first, John 1, verses 12 and 13. So let's take a look back at John 1, 12 to 13. So yes, the Father brings us into His family because He chose us willingly. In John 1, 12 to 13 said, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He power. He gave the right to become the sons of God. He gave the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were not born of blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. To be given the right as children of God, to be heirs of God. See, that is something that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? He already has given us all the spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Yes, there is a Father that we can honor. You may not have that Father. You may not know that Father. But hopefully today, you will understand who this Father is. By the way, I titled this message, Adopted by the Father, because the text tells us He has given us the right to become children of God. When those helpers that Mom, Ima, adopted, that's not the same right as those that are in the family. Although she said, you can spank them. But it only goes so far. When it comes to heir, that's different. Not only we are given the right, but we are heir of God. If you may, turn to Romans 8. Now we see this in Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. So yes, it's different. We have the Father that looks before that foundation of the world. Yes, there is a doctrine where the Bible is teaching God made a choice. And it is a sovereign choice of God according to His will. In Romans 8, 14 to 7 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together. It's amazing when we look at the scripture about adoption. Amazing when God co-heir, joint heirs with Christ Himself. To receive that inheritance. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. When I was a new Christian, this is hard doctrine. When I was older Christian, it's still a hard doctrine. I don't think it's going to get easier, but here's the thing. You get to trust the Word of God. You get to trust the promises of God Himself. Will that be easier? I say it's easier, but sometimes there's some things we cannot totally explain. I think that's where the struggle comes. Is we as human, we try to put things together. We try to make sense. But that in making sense of that, we have to bring our experiences with that. And so there's a lot of times our experiences may not really explain the revelation from the scripture. Why? Because it's a miracle for a human with our human nature to fully understand. It is still the grace of God. That's why the scriptures say, who illuminates us? It is the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, those who will save are the ones who could understand everything. But no, God made that choice. He chose us, but that choice was His will. It was no other cause but because of His will and His sovereign plan to give us the right to be a child of God. For us to know there is a Father more than our earthly fathers. To be given the blessings, all spiritual blessings, to be heirs, to receive inheritance after the counsel of His own will. He did not ask, do you want to be adopted? Do you want to be in the family of God? That question can come only when the Holy Spirit opens that understanding. We may have a good father, earthly father. That's a blessing. But what if you don't? That's when I said, I want us to know Him. This Father chose us willingly. What else does the Father do to bring a lost sinner into His family? Let's pick up in Ephesians 1 in verse 4. So another element of adoption is not only that God chose us willingly. In Ephesians 1 verses 46 said, that choice is made before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of the children of by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Secondly, He loved us intentionally. He chose us willfully, not our will, but He loved us intentionally. I can't imagine someone that you know. When my mom hired those helpers, either we know somebody that knows them, or we know them because they are really distant relatives. This is not what the Father did. He loved us intentionally. He loved us before creation. This is special love. In the scripture, we sometimes read this, the foreknowledge of God, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine. He chose us with a plan and intent to adopt us. He just didn't interview at first. Okay, let me see if you will pass the test. He predestined us for adoption, not to anyone else, but to himself. Charles Spurgeon said this, "I believe the doctrine of election because I am quite sure that if God had not chosen me, I should never have chosen him. And I am sure he chose me before I was born, or else he never would have chosen me afterwards. And he must have elected me for reasons unknown to me, for I never could find any reason in myself why he should have looked upon me with special love. He loved us knowing we were enemies." Now think about that. So here's God looking down. He's not bound in time, but he's looking at time and looking at you, looking at me. Whose children were we before adoption? So sometimes I look at the scripture and say, what are the descriptions of those who have not trusted Christ, of those who are not the children of God? He showed his love while we are still sinners by sending his son to the cross. I'm going to look at these verses here. So the question I ask, whose children were we really before adoption when God saw that? John 8:44 says this, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." We were children of the devil. For Christ said in John 8:44, the last part he said, "For he is a liar and the father of it." First John 3:10 said, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth nor not his brother." We are the children of the devil before the Father made that choice. We were sinners. What else? Ephesians 2, if you look at Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, so next page in your Bible, it should say, "Wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle, including Paul, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We are the children of the devil, the children of disobedience, the children of wrath. Sins have consequences. The wrath of God comes to the children of disobedience. This is the Father that the Scripture is showing us. He chose us willingly, but He loved us intentionally. Just imagine looking at that person and goes, I'm going to adopt that person. I think I like him or I like her. That is not the God of the Scripture. The Father, knowingly, we were enemies. The wrath of God will come to the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 5, if you go to the next chapter, or chapter 5, verse 6, says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Colossians 3:6 says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So when God looks at time, if you and I are the one choosing, Spurgeon said he would not even choose himself because he could not see anything in himself. This is against the grain of our sinful human nature. We were enemies. We'll look at two more verses here. Colossians 1. So if you may turn to Colossians 1, verse 21. And then Romans 5:10. So yes, God, the Father, brings us into His family by choosing us willingly, not our will. He also intentionally loved us, even when He sees, before the foundation of the world, He knew who we were, but His choice was made before creation. Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. If you're enemy, there is a reconciliation that should happen. There should be a peace between God and I, God and you, God and the sinner. And the Scripture is very clear that when we trust Christ as Savior, we have peace with God. Why? We are enemies. We were enemies. And if you are still the enemy of God, I beg you, look at the Scripture. To know this Father. Romans 5:10 said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Today I want it to be clear, there is a Father unlike any of our fathers. You may have good fathers, but it pains me there are those who do not. But there is hope. The hope is this Father knows you. This Father knows me. And if we know ourselves, we will look at this Father and says, what? This Father adopted us by choosing us willingly and intentionally giving that love. We loved Him because He first loved us. Adoption in Greco-Roman world, this is from Lexham Bible Dictionary, says, adoption was a legal act. So think of this in a Roman world now. And we see that in the Scripture, New Testament. So adoption was a legal act in the Greco-Roman world. In the ancient Greece, there were different, you may say, types of adoption. So very similar in the Philippines, it may be adoption, but there are several different adoptions. But in each of these cases, adoption is necessary only to preserve the states. So in the Roman world, social standing, are you slave? Are you free? Oh, you're a male? Oh, you're a female. Determined who had the right to adopt and who could be adopted under what terms. As in Greece, women were virtually removed from this system. They could not legally adopt because they were under the guardianship of their male relatives. They were also adopted at far lower rate than males, since the usual reason for adoption was to provide an heir. Women were restricted in inheritance rights. Additionally, children under the age of puberty were rarely adopted. Adopting someone of age had an advantage in that the adopter has the opportunity to engage with the individual before making the final choice. Someone who had already proven abilities for managing a household would be a good investment as an heir. For this reason, young men who had at least reached puberty or adulthood were more likely to be adopted than an infant. Roman emperors frequently had to adopt an heir. The emperors were plagued both with reproductive difficulties and the reality that their heirs were frequently targets of enemies. Have we seen that also in the Old Testament? So-and-so begot so-and-so, and once you are heir, you eliminate who's next. But here it is. Emperors also sought competent heirs. And their natural biological children did not always fit the bill. In the span of accessions in the 97 years between Nerva and Commodus, every heir to the throne was legitimized by adoption. So here's God the Father. No, he did not interview any of us. He made that choice willingly, but he loved us intentionally. We were disobedience. We are the children of it. We are the children of wrath. We are the children of the devil. We were enemies of God. We were children of the night and of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 said, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day." We are not of the night, saying we are not the children of the night nor of darkness. That's who we were. But this Father looks at you and I, not our abilities. Who could be my heir? Who could spend my money here? Who could receive my inheritance? Not the God of the Scripture. He chose us willingly. He loved us intentionally. And thirdly, he cleansed us completely. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What manner of love is this? Ephesians 1, chapter 4, let's go back there. In verse 4, "So yes, according as he has chosen us in him, he chose us willingly. Before the foundation of the world, he loved us intentionally, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He cleansed us completely. There must be a way. And God understood who we were. And He did not leave us the way we were. In His sovereign plan, we will become what God wants us to become. Ephesians 5:27 says this, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. His plan involves our complete sanctification. So I want you to see the grand scheme of grace. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, I take it that you have, Lisa, memorized or understand and read this verse a lot. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He intentionally loved us. He did what? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. No, when God chose us, He loved us, knowing who we were, cleansed us. There is a time when this sanctification will be complete. His plan involves complete sanctification to be Christ-like. In this world, we will struggle. We will go up and down. But there will come a time when we are with the Lord, as Paul said, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but it's a righteousness of Christ, a righteousness of God. So, who is this Father? This is the Father I want to introduce to you this morning. This is the Father like no other Father. This is the Father that we can cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. You can be a child. You can be adopted by this Father. He does adopt. He looks into time, but yet He is not like fathers that think, if I'm going to adopt, what should we do? We want to make sure that we have, like the Roman emperors, they are worthy to be adopted. Not the Heavenly Father. He chose us willingly and willfully. Not only that, He loved us intentionally. And there's a third concept where He cleansed us completely. There's another concept. If you may go back to Ephesians chapter 1. So we looked at the book of Romans. It says, yes, we can cry, Abba, Father. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll pick up on verse 6. So we could understand our Heavenly Father. In verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You see, adoption is not about you or me. Are we worthy? Did we volunteer? Did we do such and such in order for us to pass the test? No, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He, the Father, made us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. The last concept here is that He made us accepted in Christ unconditionally. There is nothing that says the heir must be this. they must qualify and be able to do these things. In this adoption, we are adopted by the Father because He chose to, willfully. He looks at you, He knows you, He knows me, but He loved us intentionally. And that love has a goal, starting here on earth, but eventually He will perfect will come in at the end when we are with the Lord. He cleansed us completely. And He made us accepted in Christ unconditionally. It is to the praise of the glory of His grace. He made us acceptable. He accepted us because He made us to conform to the image of His Son. God's redeeming love planned out adoption. So the Father chose us and were given to the Son, whom justified through His blood, sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You could see the Trinity in salvation. You could see from the Father to the cross, to the indwelling, to the sanctification. And so when I see the scripture, when you and I look at it, we're children of disobedience, children of wrath, children of the devil, we're enemies, we are darkness. It is only the grace of God that can transform those people into His family. This is the new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31, right? What is that? A new covenant or the New Testament in His blood to remove our heart of stone and replace it with the heart of flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:20-21 says, "Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Philippians 3:9 says, if you may turn to Philippians 3:9, and we'll take a look at this last verse here. So how can I be part of the family of God? You, again, may have a good father. I think in this local congregation, we have a lot of good fathers. Then again, you may not have a father that you may consider good or honorable. It doesn't matter. We were in the same category, you may say. We were enemies. But look at Philippians 3:9. So at the end, Paul said, What did Paul say? I'm the chiefest. I'm the one. If they're sinners, he's right there. If you look at the list, number one is Saul of Tarsus. But he said this, and be found in him, what? Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He made us accepted in Christ. No, we were not acceptable even in our own human standard. If we know ourselves, it is a gift of God through the Spirit of God. We are children of God that we can cry, Abba, Father. It's because of Him. We made a choice. He chose us willingly. But that is because of something else. It's because of love. He loved us intentionally. when that love looked at time, it understood what needs to happen. Because on our own, we will never change. We will never come to Christ. But in that love that transformed, He chose us willingly, loved us intentionally, because He cleansed us completely in the end. But not because of you and I and what happened, but because of what Christ has done. He made us accepted in Christ unconditionally. You don't need to be A, B, C, D before I adopt you. God knew that. But what is it? To the grace, to the promises of God, and such things that we can have the Father. The Father that is merciful, the Father that is gracious, the Father that do not look at you and I and go, oh, you did not meet the criteria. No, this Father is gracious, and this is done to the praise of the glory of His grace. You can have a Father on this earth that you may love, or maybe the opposite. But what I presented to you today is the Father that is not like any, our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for fathers. Thank you for those fathers who truly want what you want, to be Christ-like. We thank you for the fathers who not only give of themselves, help families, love the families. We also pray for those who doesn't know you. Those may have consequences, we know, Lord, that sometimes we struggle, especially those who have fathers that are not honorable. We struggle in that thinking they're all alike. But no, this is a Father that is not like any other earthly father. And so, Lord, may you open minds, may you open hearts, may you give us wisdom, and may we continue to reach out for those who struggle. So we thank you for the fathers. We thank you for this Father's Day, that we may recognize those who truly are trying to be a father, the best father they can be, or a father figure they can be. And it's only through your grace. It's not our own hard work, though it is not our own understanding and our own methodology, but through the Scripture, through your Word. So pray for our church, Father. I pray for this time, and I thank you. May you be pleased with our worship. Thank you in Jesus' name.